You're muted, Mark.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, Jim, if you're still within hearing, just you ask a question about Elijah going in 40 days on the food. It was from the angel food that he went 40 days, not raven food. I'm sure you know that. We have to eat raven food sometimes, but it isn't going to sustain us very long.
One little thing I was going to comment on is, we talk all the time about the spiritual meaning in the Bible, which is the meaning we need to get. And when Jim was reading, he mentioned the ships on the sea. And when the Bible talks about the sea, he's not necessarily talking about that big body of water. The sea spiritually is the sea of humanity. And even more specifically, it's the sea of unregenerate humanity. And back in those days, ships were the only way that something was delivered. They didn't have airplanes or trucks or anything. Anything that went anywhere, it went by ship, unless it was on the land, of course. But anyway, so there's two of the most well-known scriptures about Satan in the Bible. One of them is Ezekiel 28, and the other one is Isaiah 14. And I want to just read just a little bit of, out of each one of those. It'll just take a second. The first one in Ezekiel 28, and this is.
Excuse me, just a second. Are you recording, Mark?
I think we are.
Yeah, you said we were.
Yeah, we're recording. Yep.
Okay, so Ezekiel 28, which is God talking about Satan, okay? It says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned." And then, if we jump down to 18, Ezekiel 28, 18, it says, "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic." You know what the word traffic means? It's dealing in illegal goods like drug trafficking and sex trafficking. So, the devil was dealing in illegal goods on this sea of humanity, okay? And this is from Isaiah 14. It says, again, this is God talking about Satan. And he says, "That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners." So, what Satan has been doing from day one is trafficking, dealing in illegal goods. You know what illegal goods he's dealing in? The soul of man. Our soul belongs to God. And Satan has gotten in there and he's trafficking with the souls of man. And that's exactly what's happening, is this is all coming to a fullness, which is what Jim was talking about. So that's what brought Satan's fall, was him dealing in the souls of man. And in this sea of unregenerate humanity, the only ones that aren't in that sea is those of us that are in Christ. And so this is what's coming down here soon. And so that's just all I wanted to say today. Amen.
Yes, Brother Mike, there's another mention of the dealing of the souls of men. Oh, here it is. It's in Revelation 18. And if you want to start in verse 9, it says, "And the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her." Okay? We're talking about the fall of the great harlot. Shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. We'll just read a few verses, I guess. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, for that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." That's coming pretty fast. "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all time wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of precious wood and of brass and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men." Coming to an end. And by the way, what's coming to this harlot system, this church? She's sitting on the beast, and you don't sit on a beast unless you're in control of that beast. You can watch the rodeos of the cowboys trying to sit on those wild bulls and what have you. They don't sit there very long because they can't maintain control of that beast for very long. But the day is coming when that government system does not want that woman riding her anymore. They're going to throw her off. And they're going to destroy her. They're going to help destroy her, actually. But the kingdom of God, that little stone that Jim was talking about, I think is really going to be involved in her destruction. And I can't wait, brethren. I can't wait. Bring it on. Well, we're open to hear from everybody here.
Have you guys ever looked into the Club of Rome and the Committee of 300? They have a world map that divides all the kingdoms of the earth into 10 regions. And it seems to be what they're pushing towards here. And also, when Jim mentioned that, did they get all the people after the Nazis were defeated? How many of you know that our own government absorbed a lot of those Nazi scientists through Operation Paperclip? And one of them being Wernher von Braun, the man that's behind NASA. And if you were to look up NASA and the meaning of what it means in Hebrew, it means to deceive. So be careful what you believe coming from NASA.
Yeah, a lot of those Nazis went to Argentina, I believe. and Argentina absorbed many of them. But you know the Israel, who was the last one that Israel found down there? Do you remember? Eichmann. Eichmann. It was in the time of you probably don't remember it in your lifetime, but I remember Israel went in there and they took Eichmann, just snatched him right out of there, just like Trump did this guy from Venezuela. Snatched him right out, took him over to Israel, and what did they hang him or what? They killed him anyway, they executed him. Do you remember that, Mike?
I remember hearing about it, but I didn't know too much about it.
You were probably too young. I think it was in the 1950s that they went over and got him. And there's probably a few more that they didn't get.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Just yesterday, I can't remember if I saw it on Fox News or something on my phone or whatever, but they were talking about all these different countries that are kind of going to pot, you know, and they mentioned Argentina, that it's thriving over there right now. So I wonder how much has to do with that, that some of those guys ended up over there and they're working their deception.
Yeah. And Jeremy, yes, we did absorb the Nazi scientists because we knew they were working on the bomb and we wanted to get there first. So they willingly came over here and they went into the Manhattan Project with some of our guys. And yes, they were well along in the bomb, and we got our bomb. And of course, you mentioned the rocket scientists too. They were working. They were way ahead of us on rockets. I say us. I don't mean us. I mean
What?
the government that we call us. Well, go ahead, Larry. You've got something to say. You might as well say
Well, I missed out. I wasn't here for the last few minutes. I had to go next door to see about study. But anyway, just picking up what you were just talking about with us getting the bomb before, just maybe 2 weeks before the Germans did. And it brings me back to, what I'm thinking about is, the sovereignty of God versus man's free will. And they, in a way that they kind of conflict with one another. But, we have to always remember that God is sovereign in all things. Everything in our life, he's sovereign in everything in our life. He's sovereign in everything in the world from day one, and he will be, throughout eternity. And yet, he has granted for to us free will, the doctrine of free will, that man has the ability to determine his destiny, in a sense. And yet, it all lies in the sovereignty of God. Ultimately, that's where it comes down. So I often think about God allows mankind to choose his way, and he lets mankind go throughout the earth. But every once in a while, this is the way what I believe. Every once in a while, he has to intercede in and interrupt man's free will, because it conflicts with his plan for mankind. And I see that happening, with this atom bomb, that it was God's sovereign will to intercede before the Germans got it. I see it other times in the course of history of mankind. I see it, in the American Revolution, that again, when I look at the people, the patriots that actually defeated the greatest military power of that day, and it just didn't happen. It was God's will that he interfered and made sure that the Americans would succeed in that revolution. And you can look at it now, even with what's going on with Trump. I believe he was, and again, I have to say that, I'm not raising up Donald Trump to be any miraculous person or any great Christian person. But I do believe that he's a man that was called of God for this time. And God had to rescue him miraculously by, again, the sovereign hand to keep him alive, because he has to fulfill a purpose in God's plan for this age and for the end of time. So again, everything is in God's hands. And God will allow mankind to only go so far. But when it comes to interfering with his plan, he has to sometimes jump in and turn that around so that his plan and purposes will be fulfilled in the earth throughout humanity, and his plan and purposes will be fulfilled in each of our lives. Amen.
Amen. Well,
I want to add one little thing about the bomb, and I'm probably going to get a bunch of this wrong, but hopefully you'll get the main point. The original atomic bomb was made somewhat by the dividing of the atom, and there's apparently two types of atomic bombs, fission and fusion. And so fusion is joining together rather than separating. And the fusion bomb is more powerful than the fission bomb. And what that speaks to me is the body of Christ being joined and coming together is going to be more powerful than the division that Satan is creating in this earth. So we need to be a body. We need to join together. And together we can defeat Satan.
Yes. Just technically, Mike, the fusion bomb is the hydrogen bomb. The splitting of the atom is the atom bomb. And the hydrogen bomb has been exploded somewhere out in some remote place, but it has never been used in warfare at all. The two that were dropped in Japan were uranium bomb and a plutonium bomb. Those were the two that were used in Japan. What were their names? Fat Boy and Big Boy or something like that. They named their bombs. And the Korean War, Korea did not have a bomb at that time. We did. My oldest brother was over there, during that time. And what actually stopped that were these Koreans. They were just going to fight and fight and fight. They were never going to end it. and the Chinese were coming over and joining them, and they were just cannon fodder, literally. My brother saw it happen. They would just come he was stationed underneath one of those machine guns, and it would just keep shooting like that until the barrels of the guns were practically melted down. And the Koreans would just give them drugs and no other weapon than maybe a wooden club. So I say all that. They were bringing them in from China, drugging them. People didn't care. They didn't care about human lives. And so Truman had demonstrated that he would use the bomb. And he told that, what's his name, Kim, the Rocket Man, his grandfather was the big honcho there in Korea. Truman told him, he said, "Look, if you don't stop this war, we're going to use the bomb on you. I will." And Truman would have done it. He demonstrated his willingness to do so. And that's why Kim's grandfather, whatever was his name, I don't remember. That's why he finally agreed to sign the treaty. The war never really ended. It ended as a treaty. Am I right, Larry? You're a historian about my age.
No, that was before my time, Mark.
Okay.
I'm back to Vietnam time.
No, I know you're almost my age, Larry. Come now. We must tell the truth here on this Zoom.
Well, the truth be known, I don't know that to be the case. I mean, I know that Truman, just knowing what I know about Truman, that he would have done what he said he would do, just like Trump. Certain people are leaders, and they'll do what has to be done, so.
Well, Trump was appointed of God. I mean that bullet shooting his ear was clearly the hand of God that saved his bacon from
Yeah,
being killed. That was clearly the hand of God.
that's right. He's sovereign
And
in his purposes.
for what purpose? The only thing that came to me, he's a wild man. And why did God appoint Jehu was to clean the swamp, to get rid of every remnant of Ahab and Ahab's sons and sons-in-law, whatever. Every bit of Ahab had to be cleaned out of the swamp. And it looks like the cleaning of the swamp is going beyond the shores of the US. I don't know what's happening, but he is a wild man. And I just read this morning that during the time when they were rescuing these pilots, his aides had to lock him out of the situation room because they were so afraid of his temper that he was going to do something to mess it up, for what it's worth. Only God can control the situation.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, they were only a couple of weeks away from getting, the uranium, enriching uranium to where they would have missiles carrying those warheads, and that. I believe God seen that coming, and he had to stop that. And that's why, again, God is sovereign, And it wasn't time. We're not there yet. The time is coming when the end, you know, the end, what's talked about, what Ezekiel talked about in Ezekiel 38. You know, it's not, it's too soon. So God had to delay that, because everything is in accordance with his plan and his timing. So that's why he, you know, saved Trump from being assassinated, because it's for this very purpose that God had to delay the nuclear annihilation of the earth, you know, until a later time.
And you know, Larry, the Iranians would have used it. And if they get one, they will use it. They have never wavered. I have watched and listened to them for, I don't know, what did it say, 40 years. Every statement that they have ever made against Israel is they will bomb them with a nuke when they get one. And they're close enough they can do it.
You know, there's such a great difference between Christianity and Islam. Christianity is all about life. Jesus Christ came to give us life. Islam is a religion of death. That's all these people are about, is, you know, is death. If you do not conform to their religious standards, the, what, you know, this false religion, you know, they'll kill you. They'll kill the Jews, first of all. They'll kill Christians. They'll kill anybody that will not accept and submit to Islam. And there's so much about death that, you know, if they don't kill other people, they'll kill one another. You know, that's who they are. The, you know, because Islam is based on murder and death, because it is Satan that's behind it. So you see clearly the difference between Christianity, which again is not a religion, and the religion of Islam. One is life-giving, the other is death.
Yeah, and Jeremy, if you like to look into historical conspiracy theories, look into the foundation of who really founded Islam. Did you ever look into that?
Yes, I've been digging it. It's hard to find information on it, but
oh, it's getting very hard. It's getting very hard. But when it first, years ago, you could find it. And the Roman Catholic Church did initiate the foundation of Islam.
Yeah, that's what I found too.
Yeah, who was the woman involved? What was her name?
I don't remember her name right off the top of my head, but she's the one that
Fatima.
Sat down with Muhammad and
what is it, Paul?
Fatima.
Fatima, yeah.
Yeah, it came to me as Brother Jim was sharing that we really ought not to ignore the strength of the devil in the midst of Islam and its advance in the world is at this time is very extreme. And it seems that they have, you know, this agenda to take over. I mean, the whole basis of their religion is to be the dominant, predominant power in the earth. And so the thought came, and I just put it out there, that, there's seems to me that there's a strong case that the second horn could be Islam. And the other horn being the Catholic Church in conjunction with the EU as one horn. And the interesting thing is that Islam doesn't like the other horn either. So, there's a whole lot that we don't, I think that we don't completely understand. But I think that what Brother Jim has brought is the thing that we need to be aware of is that our business is about the cleansing of our souls. The repentance is necessary on a regular basis because we don't know the depravity of who we are and the depth of the rebellion that is within the midst of our souls. It's just inculcated into the fiber of man. And as Brother Campbell used to say, we're not God's little honeys. We definitely have darkness within, but we thank God that as we yield our members to Him, He has the ability to cleanse, to purge, to sanctify us because of the perfect work of the blood of Jesus Christ that was done upon the cross, the perfect shedding of that blood. And so anyway, the marvelous thing is we don't have to be diverted from seeking the face and following after the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That's our business. And God will take care of all the rest. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul.
Sure.
Amen.
Yeah, Paul, talking about when you talk about the depravity of man,
Stop rocking.
it reminded me of Calvinism. The first point of Calvinism, the T there stands for total depravity. In other words, the Calvinists believe that there's nothing in man that's any good, and man himself, there's nothing that man can do to save himself. That it is God alone that brings him to a place of cleansing, that getting, covering that depravity. But you're right that, I agree with you. We are depraved people. And left alone without God's cleansing, the blood of Jesus Christ, we would all be destined for hell. I agree with you.
Could that be the one thing that Calvin got right?
No. I tend to think so, but the beautiful thing is that God is drawing us and allowing us to respond, and in fact is requiring of us to respond. So, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So not that we add anything, but to the cross, but that we accept the work of the cross. And that's the difficulty that we have. We seem to want to have our feet planted in two places. And so one, we're pressing on, but then we step back and we press on and we step back. So just look at the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And yet he had an awful lot of step backs, so praise God.
Yeah, I can't figure out, going back to Calvin, I can't figure out why they bother to go out and preach salvation. Why do they bother?
Well, I got an answer to that, but I don't want to get into this,
That's a deep.
the election, and predestination, but if you look at really scripture, the theology, there's a point to be made about the election process. because we were chosen from the foundations of the world. Before we were born, we were chosen. So, how do you fit that into, a theological discussion of this election process? Again, it's in the hands of God. It wasn't determined by us. And well, I
Well,
have an answer for you about why preach salvation. There's a reason for that. But
people
anyway.
can't understand how a God can know something's going to happen and then cause it to happen because he knows it. That's what man can't figure out.
There's a lot of things that we can't figure out that only God knows. Someday we'll get the answer to a lot of these things, but it'll be in another place in another time.
Yeah, we'll see, Larry. If I'm all-knowing and I know something's going to happen, I'm all-powerful, I'm going to make sure it happens. And that's what man can't figure out, that he gives man a will to decide, even though he knows ahead of time how the man's going to decide.
So you sound like you believe in predestination, Mark.
Not in the sense that maybe the Webster's dictionary would define it.
Yeah, those were pills he was taking. I don't
Well,
think he would poison
but
himself.
again, we're talking about the elect of God, how God chooses some and not others.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, what else can we add to what Jim has said?
This doesn't add to what Jim said, but we mentioned Harry Truman, and I think he was the one famous for making the statement, being the president is like trying to ride a tiger.
Probably is. What, was he a Democrat?
Well, first and foremost, he was a very, very strong Freemason, so.
It's the enemy has infiltrated into all of government. Have a hard time believing how you can be a Christian and be a senator or a representative or a president or anything like that, if nothing more than the requirement to continually lie every time your mouth opens.
Or be a Democrat. How can you be a Christian and be a Democrat?
How can you be a Christian and be a politician?
Yeah, I'll go for Paul's statement. Yes, Larry's statement is true, but what Paul says is also true. Now, maybe you can run for dog catcher or something like that. Maybe you can be honest.
I'd say there'd be one more exception. You could be running to try to get in there to straighten things up and clean it up, So there could be somebody trying to do that too.
Yeah, they can try, but what happens is they get corrupted.
Compromise starts coming in very quickly.
Yeah.
Compromise, compromise,
They
compromise.
become corrupt. The
You
system will
know,
corrupt them.
Larry, I remember when we were living in Balsam Spa, and my wife and I were in a grocery store, and we were standing in line to check out and to pay. And I think that was before UPC codes even. And it was a time of election. And everybody in line here, we were all talking to one another. I guess we can still do that once in a while about the election. And I remember I opened my mouth and I said, okay, I'm going to run for that office. And my campaign is going to be that I promise not to make any more new laws. And everybody clapped. I thought, boy, maybe I have a place here in politics. No more new laws. Well, I think we've come to the end of our time.
Well,
So maybe
I want to say one more thing about Jim. You asked about what can we say about what Jim said?
okay, one more about Jim.
Okay, what stands out to me was when he quoted the scripture about I guess it was the Church of Sardis, where he says, "Be watchful, hang on to what you have, and end it up in repentance." And I think that's the word that that we need to take away. We need to be watchful of the times. We need to mind what we already have in our Christian faith. Don't let it slip from us, and be ever repentful, because we do need to repent regularly. Because, like Paul said, there's still depravity there that needs to be cleansed out of us. Amen.
Amen.
And this I want to just make a comment on predestination that Brother Mike spoke about. Predestination, as it is in the Word of God, I believe that it doesn't mean that God has predestined the fate of every man on the earth. But what God has predestined at the end of the two options, the end of the two kingdoms, God has predestined them. So whichever one a man chooses, God knows your end. So that is the predestination, as the word of God says, not that God has predestined the fate of every man. God has given us the opportunity to exercise our will. So after that, God will tell you where you will end. And of course, along the line, you can also change that decision. And it is also predestined. So the end of every part, the two parts, is predestined by God. That is what I understand of predestination as it is in the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
And in Romans chapter 8, it starts with whom he foreknew, he predestined. So it goes back to the foreknowledge of God, that he knew who his child was going to be and who was not going to be his child. It was his foreknowledge that determined it.